Israel.
And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive, beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation. And it shall be a statute forever in your generations.
The Eternal Light. The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations present The Eternal Light, a program which comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Today's program, Triumph in Samaria, was written by Peter Barry and is presented in observance of Human Rights Day.
For upward of 3 hours now, the king's voice had resounded through the palace halls. His shouts rang through the halls like the roarings of a much vexed bull. But I could distinguish nothing until he summoned me by name.
Abdias! Where is my governor of the palace? Abdias!
At your command, Majesty.
Count me forth from the treasury 5 talents of Damascus silver.
5, my lord.
5. And make no ado about it.
As I crossed to the brass coffer and dealt out the money, the king smiled bitterly up into the pleasant, puzzled face of the little Jezreelite before him.
5. So, be ye content at last.
Majesty.
With 5 silver talents, a man might buy such land as yours and build a mansion on it, no? Well, is that not fact?
You mistake me, Majesty.
Wherein?
With me, it was never a question of the price.
Come, you need not blush for your greed. The vineyard's worth whatever it cost me.
Wherefore, my lord?
I buy it for the queen's pleasure.
The queen's?
Aye. The queen finds pleasure in your vineyard. Her majesty complains much of our cookery. Shepherd's fare, she calls it. In her native land of Sidon, they spice much with saffron and chives and nutmegs. I wish your vineyard to the end that she may smile.
Can one not smile without such things as chives and nutmegs?
A queen need not... Forgive me if my tone is sharp. You've tried me sorely, brother. Now, these herbs, as it happens, hold importance for the wife of my bosom.
Wherefore?
They make an exotic taste in the mouth.
And you would sacrifice a vineyard of living trees for an exotic taste in the mouth?
Let that not concern you now that it's sold.
Your pardon, my lord, but it is not sold.
What?
And it shall not be sold.
Now look you here.
It was willed me by my father, sire. The day he died, my father blessed me. Ye have a sweet and goodly heritage, he said. Tend it carefully and with pride.
Sell it to me.
The last act of his life was to press his lips to my forehead and whisper, Look to thy vineyard, Naboth.
Not ever in my many years at court had I seen King Ahab in so black a mood. When Naboth had departed, he paced the floor until the last glow of the sunken sun was drained from the western horizon. At the evening meal, he said nothing and ate nothing, staring red-eyed into space and drawing his breath with difficulty through the pressure of his inner rage. The silence was broken by Jezebel, queen of Israel.
Oh, out of spite would he refuse me.
Spite?
My lady speaks the bitter truth. He gloated with the pleasure of saying nay.
I saw not that he said...
You look not deep.
But
I seek no comforting denial. 1,000 courtiers with as many gifts as tongues could not persuade me that I am not despised in Israel. He saw to that.
He?
The Tishbite.
It is a fact. A fact?
A miasma he made of my name, a ruffian's oath. Profanity to be whispered behind the hand and kept from the ears of children. Left is not one among the thousands whom he schooled throughout the land.
Comfort you, my lord. He will never come again.
Never come again? How say you?
The time has come for telling of truth. Elijah the Tishbite is dead.
Dead? Say you dead?
My life upon it.
You know not what you tell me.
No other creature who walks the earth do I fear. No other eyes have ever turned my heart to ash, save his.
Rejoice, then. Know you not that several moons ago he journeyed north out of Israel?
I praised Baal then I sacrificed upon your altar.
But know you why he journeyed?
Nay, do you?
It has been told me. He purposed to crown young Hazael king of Syria.
Hazael?
Aye.
King? But Hazael stands not even in succession.
Even so?
Then why set he forth on such mad business?
His God, he said, thus ordered him, my lord.
Well, still, this means not he's dead.
He's dead well enough. There are factions of power in Syria whose lives would end with Hazael's coronation. To them I dispatched messages informing them of Elijah's coming and of the power of his magic. If the impossible shall be done, this man shall do it. Thus I wrote, and urge them for their sake and ours to kill him in his blood.
Think you 'tis done?
How should it not be done? Shall these endangered Syrians suffer an Israelitish prophet to huckster with their throat?
Elijah is no more. I, Zedekiah, who was taught wisdom by the birds of the air. I tell thee so, Majesty. Believe it, Majesty.
You may believe it, love.
I shall try to believe it.
Will you not eat now, my lord?
That I shall try also.
Oh, bravo, sire. Here, tip thy palate with the stew of hare and tamarind. Oh, take but one sup.
My stomach shudders at the contemplation.
Lack you appetite still?
All food is of a smell to me, and that one smell foul.
But after such news?
I myself cannot think why.
Nay, then I shall tell thee why. Tis not thy stomach, but thy will that hungers.
My wits are tripped in the snare of thy riddle's wording.
I make no riddle, love. I do but tell thee that Naboth's vineyard presses yet upon thy spirit.
Very like. I wanted it for thee, Jezebel.
Oh, my sweet.
Deep was my rage against the man. I wished him dead at my feet as he prattled with his accursed tongue of his father's heritage. My heart insisted that I have the vineyard for thee.
Mine still insists that you shall have it for me.
How say you now?
Get thee to thy couch, my lord, and sleep away thy anger's malice.
I shall sleep little until this Naboth stirs in his decision.
He will not stir, I fear.
If he stir or no, is of small matter.
Small matter? Of small matter, say you?
We shall have the vineyard, Ahab.
Have it? But how? Whereby?
Think you not on how or whereby? We shall have it, love. And that by all our gods, I promise thee.
But Ahab the king was not cheered. Indeed, his frown was deeper graven. Aye, with mention of Elijah the Tishbite, a pallor descended on his visage, and there remained even when he rose from our midst and took his way with uncertain steps up the silent staircase. In the solitude of the vaulted room, he stood for a time, and then walked as though in a trance to his bedside. Wearily, his hand reached out and put out the lamp. Silent, he lay alone, staring unseeing into the darkness, until, of a sudden, the king sat sharp upright, his stare white and wide with the terror of his heart. There, across the broad, dark chamber, sat the stalwart figure of a man, dressed in the pelt of a wolf. Nigh paralyzed with fear, the king managed to press his fists together in supplication when the prophetic figure raised a gnarled, accusing finger.
Elijah!
Then quickening, as an animal at bay quickens to imminent doom, Ahab's hand shot out, grasping the tinderbox and contriving with haste and fumbling to make a light. And as the familiar chamber loomed forth out of the distortion of dark, Ahab began to laugh and sob in the rapture of his relief.
It was not he.
With the rising of the moon, Ahab found his way into uneasy slumber. Even as he did so, Queen Jezebel spoke in hushed conference behind the closed doors of a curtained room in the priestly quarters.
Were there only thou and I involved, I'd say aye, but other helpers mean other tongues. And with so many, one may slip.
I tell ye, I may trust these men I'd use. Spoke I but a part of what I might. Their robes of office would be torn from them, and dungeons would suffice them for abodes.
Albeit, this thing could come to light, Majesty.
Think you so?
I warn thee that I think so.
Well, right as I tell thee, and let all Israel learn, there is danger in denying a monarch's will.
At your command, good daughter.
Most honored excellence.
To whom be it addressed?
To the chief elder of the city's counselors. Most honored excellence. I write thee privately concerning one Naboth the Jezreelite. I write thee because reports of this man's rebellious and blasphemous activities have reached our ears and caused us much concern. I write thee to urge that ye aid us in ensnaring him by bidding him to thy counsel, honoring him, flattering him, and in whatever way ye deem best, loosening his tongue. If Naboth uttereth sedition, thou knowest the penalty. If he utter it not, seize upon that which he doth utter, twist it to our purpose, and obtain the reward of thy sovereign's gratitude.
The letter was delivered upon the morrow, and the following day Naboth was summoned to the meeting of the elders of the council. They informed him that he was selected to sit amongst them. Therewith prevailed upon him to make a speech of acceptance. Unprepared and fearful lest they think him a bumpkin, he spoke that day a good deal more than was good for him. Upon the next day, in the council's noon recess, two most friendly members urged him to tarry and refresh himself at the wine shop. And upon that day, he spoke much more.
Oh, but one cup, neighbor, one cup.
Nay, neighbor, it is a fast.
Then sit you down at least.
Yay. Truly, my wife awaits me.
I'll wager it would not be the first time.
It would. I have never kept her waiting.
Well, then she cannot be wroth with thee this once.
Spoil not the merriment, neighbor. Indeed, I'd not spoil thy merriment.
Well, then sit ye down and let us pour our hearts out.
Oh, what sweet and goodly souls ye be.
Oui.
To shower such warmth upon a stranger.
You are not quite a stranger to us, friend.
No. I had not seen you before yesterday, nor ye me.
Thy fame preceded thee.
Fame? My fame?
It is the rumor that ye refuse to sell a vineyard to the monster.
Monster?
The enthroned swine.
Speak you so of the king?
Not if it offend or frighten thee. Frighten him? Naboth would be hard to frighten. Why, he is a creature of fathomless valor.
Nay, I am not so valorous.
Come, come, who but a fearless man would dare to cross the vengeful Ahab?
I thought neither of fear nor courage.
What thought you then?
That I would not sell my vineyard, nothing more.
But feared you not to deny the Lord's anointed?
I thought not of that either.
Doubt you that he's the Lord's anointed?
I cannot answer ye.
What mean you?
Dost think the Lord himself might err?
Err?
Ahab is an idolater. I say only what the world doth know.
Say on.
Could it be that the Lord's anointed could forget the Lord?
'Tis a good question, no?
A memorable question.
But you have not the answer.
No.
You will not think me disloyal.
We will think nothing.
Well, we have poured out our hearts enough, I suppose.
Quite enough.
What is the time?
Late.
I have failed my wife, alas. How shall I bespeak her when we meet this evening?
You will not meet this evening.
How so?
You are under arrest, Naboth of Jezreel, in the name of the Council of Samaria. I tell you, I meant no ill.
We ask not what you meant, but what you said.
It was but a conversation in a wine shop. I spoke to them as friends.
I advise you to waste no more of the time of this august council. Did you or did you not say that the Lord had erred in the anointing of our sovereign?
I asked if it could be.
Is that not the same thing?
One and the same thing. What more can I say?
You need say no more. Naboth of Jezreel, You are herewith found guilty of treason and blasphemy toward God the King.
If I have spoken loosely, I accept your censure.
This and... crime is as the crime of treason, the penalty for which is death by the stone.
Nay, you have judged falsely, brother. There is some mistake here. I asked but a question.
Conduct them hence to the city gate.
A question!
That was the day the sky darkened and the wind came. At an hour past noon, it began, sweeping in from the sea and bearing down upon us, southward past Sidon. On and on it roared, a mounting tempest, growing ever vaster, until the broad land shook before the onslaught of its anger. Within an hour, its howl was so shrill around the palace battlements that Ahab the king could scarcely hear Her Majesty when she burst in upon him with the tidings.
Thou hast it, Lord.
How say you?
Thou hast it.
What?
The vineyard.
Teach me not upon so sore a subject.
Am I given off to jest? 'Tis thine, I vow it is.
It cannot be so long as Naboth lives. What has befallen here?
Are not the goods of those slain for treason forfeit to the crown?
Who is so slain?
Canst thou not surmise?
My surmise chills the marrow of my heart. Speak ye fair.
Naboth, the Jezreelite, is no more.
Huh? How? How does this come to be?
Say that I know not.
How does this come to be?
Rejoice in thy good fortune, Lord, and trouble not to find the means of its accomplishment.
I know this look of thine, the lowered eyes, the plump, rich, pouting under lip, demanding praise for wantonness. Thou hast contrived it. Look at me, woman!
Wilt thou scold, my lord, for that I kept my promise to thy royal self?
The worst the truth, then. His blood is on our hands.
Wanted you not the vineyard, Lord?
Feared you not to do it.
I am a queen, my lord, and fear is not my portion. I know only glory that thou hast the vineyard of thy heart's desiring. Thou hast not lost thy taste for it.
Nay.
You want it still.
I want it still. Oh, sweet bliss of heaven, thou art beautiful. Thy mouth is as a feast of the honeyed hearts of ripe red melons. The stare of thy gaze, a lavish rising of twin moons above the silver-dappled birdsong of legend wilderness. I want it as I want thee, as I want all comely alien delights, forbidden, fair, and beckoning.
Oh, thou hast thy will, then, as a king must have. Thy triumph is very great, my lord.
Aye, my triumph is as a pride of lions. Thee, Jezebel.
Majesty.
Hi, Zedekiah.
Majesty.
Again, man, has the wind blown thy wits out?
The wind has blown a courier our way.
A courier?
From the north.
So then?
The words stick in my throat.
Spew them forth. I am ready fit for what may come.
Hazael has been crowned king of Syria.
Hazael?
Even so.
Hazael. Who has crowned them, then? Who has crowned him?
I dare not think, my lord.
But the Tishbite's dead.
Ah, I was fit for anything but this.
He's dead, I say. He's dead. Melkart, Bel, I conjure ye, O gods, let him be dead. Guardsmen, soldiers, to thy queen. To thy queen.
Why summon ye the soldiery?
They shall hunt the woods for the mountains and the waters. To thy queen. If he live, he shall not live long. Cheer thyself with that, Majesty.
I shall cheer myself with nothing. Full many a time hast thou sought to slay him, and still he walks. Hazael is king, and the end of things is in the eyes of Ahab.
Desperate, Ahab turned to the wine for sustenance of spirit. By nightfall, he was merry, jesting and singing and seeming almost to challenge the storm with his laughter. As the hours passed, his gaiety soared, until with an oath he rose, snatched up a torch, and strode toward the darkness that lay beyond the palace portal.
Where go you, my lord?
To take possession, royal queen. I, to lay claim unto this vineyard that is ours at last. Ha, ha, ha!
She urged her company on him, but he bade her keep her place and passed out into the night. Over the palace grounds he found his way, crossed the boundary, and stumbling before the wind, drew his sword in the midst of the coveted acres.
By right of forfeiture, do I claim this land for the crown of Israel!
Hast thou killed and also taken possession?
Elijah!
This time, the form of Elijah stood beside a gnarled tree on the darkened crest of a little hill. But the thunderous brow and the glittering eye were unchanged. Swiftly, Ahab raised the torch above his head and heard his own heart pounding above the roar of the wind.
Elijah!
In the flare of the torch, the form on the hill's crest faded not, nor waned, nor became something other than itself. Instead, it remained what it was, the stalwart form of a lean, thewed man, dire in majesty, and dressed in the pelt of a wolf.
Elijah!
Aye, Ahab, son of Omri. Didst think I had fallen by the treachery of thy house, even as Naboth fell?
Knowest thou of Naboth?
Even as the Lord knoweth, and he knows. And so saith the Lord, in the place where dogs lick the blood of Naboth, shall dogs lick thy blood, even thine.
Hast thou found me, O mine enemy?
I have found thee, because thou hast given thyself over to do that which is evil in the sight of the Lord. Behold, I will bring evil upon thee, and will utterly sweep thee away, and will cut off from Ahab every man-child, and him that is shut up, and him that is left at large in Israel.
Nay!
Aye! And of Jezebel also spoke the Lord, saying, the dogs shall eat Jezebel in the moats of Jezreel.
In the name of all mercy!
Where was her mercy?
I beseech you, hear me. As a beggar grovels before the Prince of Hosts, I beg ye hearken. I'll not gainsay that there's been some evil done. Dark evil. But measure and discretion must yet abide. Consider, I plead with thee. Despite thy rage, consider what's at stake herein.
And what be that?
The loftiness of the very crown itself.
Say you so.
Say I. Who is this Naboth? Tell me, who is he? That a queen in Israel should be devoured by dogs to gain him vengeance.
Who is Naboth? Naboth, man, is Israel. His privilege to deny thee his vineyard is Israel's throne, and his right to his life is the sun that shines upon the land. Thy wife is of the tyrant's breed, of the kings of the spawn of Esau, who prove their might in blood and their power by striding spike-shod upon the necks of subjects. But this was not for thee, Ahab. Cruelty in a king of the people of the covenant proves not, save that he belongs not upon the throne. Thou wouldst be as this wind is, blotting out all voices save thine own. Yet the Spirit of God lies not in the tempest, but in a little wind, the gentle wind of reason.
I repent me. I repent and pity they are.
You pity neighbor? Nay, grieve you not, sire, but save thy pity for some smaller sorrow. He was stoned, aye, and not remains of him, but tatters and his shattered bones. Yet I say unto you, he triumphed, as you never shall, Ahab. Here was a man, faithful to his vineyard, unto death.
If you would like a copy of today's script, please send your name and address with 10 cents to cover the cost of postage to the Jewish Theological Seminary of America, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. Now we take great pleasure in presenting the Honorable Samuel DeFalco, Justice of the Supreme Court of the State of New York. Judge DeFalco.
Today, we honor the Universal Declaration of Human Rights by the General Assembly of the United Nations on the 10th day of December, 1948. On this day, dedicated to the ideal of universal human rights, it is fitting to recall that the story of Naboth's vineyard was the earliest account in recorded history in which the inherent rights of an individual were defended against the powers of the sovereign ruler. We today, thanks to the vision of our forefathers, are fortunate to live in a country where a Bill of Rights protects all citizens from arbitrary action by the state. Our belief that the individual created by God is more important than the state has been the distinguishing mark of our democracy. However, in this age of jet power and atomic energy, when we are just a few short hours from any place on the globe, we cannot divorce ourselves from the faiths of those in foreign lands less fortunate than we. As long as slave labor camps exist, and nations utterly disregard human dignity, and wheresoever such other evils are permitted to continue, our own way of life is endangered. On this anniversary of the adoption of this unprecedented valuable declaration, advancing the cause of all mankind, we should rededicate ourselves to increasing our efforts for progress in this field of human relationship. This declaration marks the first time that an organization of international governments formally declared, and I quote, "Recognition of the inherent dignity and of the equal and inherent rights of all members of the human family is the foundation of freedom, justice, and peace in the world. All human beings are born free and equal in dignity and rights. They are endowed with reason and conscience and should act towards one another in a spirit of brotherhood." End quote. These wonderful words, my friends, have a special meaning for all of us. Let us remember that every victory we score for human rights in our own communities advances the most crucial campaign ever waged, the campaign for the survival and peace of all mankind.
Thank you, Judge DeFalco. Our Eternal Light drama today, Triumphant Samaria, was written by Peter Barry, presented in observance of Human Rights Day. The music was written by Morris Momorsky and conducted by Roy Shield. Cantor Robert Siegel sang the liturgical introduction. Featured in the cast were Louis Van Ruden, Joe DeSantis, John McGovern, Roger DeCoven, Ralph Camargo, Bert Conlon, Guy Repp, Norman Rose, and Connie Lemke. This is Dick Dudley speaking. The program is directed by Danny Sutter. This is the NBC Radio Network.